From the hosts that brought you Decoding Westworld
and Westworld the Recapables
comes the Ringer Prestige TV podcast on Westworld.
I'm Joanna Robinson.
I'm Danny Heifetz.
And I'm David Shoemaker.
Welcome to Westworld Season 4 in the Prestige TV podcast feed, where we're going to break down every episode of Westworld Season 4.
Every Monday, the day after the show comes out on the Prestige TV podcast feed.
Wherever you get your podcasts, but get them on Spotify.
Psst. Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello and welcome to Pop Culture History Lesson. My name is Amelia Wedemeyer, and today I am joined by Juliette Littman, and we're talking the one, the only, Wendy Williams. Hello, Juliette.
Hello. We sure are. I think we should just disclose. Neither of us are super fans, but we are super admirers, and just
we
felt
are.
Like we couldn't let the end of the Wendy Williams show go by without noting it.
Without noting it, maybe giving it a little tribute as we are right now, because she really, you know, as I was researching a lot of Wendy stuff in the last couple of days, she really paved the way for a lot of people, and just that format and her as like kind of a respectable, maybe not always respectable, but like kind of gossip queen, gossip hound, if you will, shock jockette, as some people call her. It's kind of remarkable. And
she kind of made gossip acceptable as TV fodder, essentially, through
the hot
topic segment of her show.
I love that
but
section.
She's really a legend. I mean, it's also only an add to her legend that the entire final season she was not on, which
amazing
is, which is sad. I mean, she's on it. It will add to her legend for sure. But I think we should just say we're here to celebrate her. But there is also just a level of sadness in recent years related to Wendy.
Definitely.
As it relates to her health struggles and her rumored addiction. And frankly, her very public divorce from Kevin Hunter, which is
not
like,
a good guy. Not a good guy. Bad guy. Bad Kevin. Yeah.
Kevin looked for any way to get attention. And this week it was condemning the show for ending without her, which obviously
right.
We all agree. But it's like, oh, now you support her, Kevin Hunter?
Exactly.
Where were you before?
Right. And not only that, he was working out in like a 30-pound vest, and he had to show everyone that he was working out in a 30-pound vest. And it was like, okay, Kevin, we get it. Thanks. You work out.
That is so unappealing. It just has like, not like in any way, but just like as a human. It's just like, do we need to know about that?
No, we don't. And it's just, you know, you could have recorded your little Wendy tribute or whatever it was, like sitting on a deck or, you know, lounging. You didn't need to do it at the gym, you know? So whatever. But yeah. Okay. Well, let's, I guess, get into this a little bit.
Okay.
Wendy, so she started out as a DJ personality in New York. Since you are from New York, you live in New York. Were you familiar with Wendy as she, you know, was on the radio?
I definitely was. Yes.
Oh,
I remember listening to her on the radio as a young kid. My older brother was really into her. I think she was on WBLS after she was on Hot 97.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like a fixture, and like she was also doing the gossip thing, and like was like a
I
big personality on radio before she was on TV. And also, when I was like a preteen and a teenager,
uh-huh.
I really wanted to be a radio morning show host. Like
was
my dream job. I wanted to be the host of the Z100 morning show. But so like
it's still a table.
I don't want to wake up for that anymore.
Okay, well, that's a good point.
At least podcasting's on demand, so you can do it like you know,
true.
Kind of at any time.
That's true.
But I was aware of her because I was like aware of all of the major DJs.
Sure.
I was like, I wanted to be them, and she was included in that. I wanted to do Z100 because I was really into pop music, but like she was like a formative figure that like I thought about as like, oh, that's a cool career. And
totally.
She's been around a long time. Like
it's impressive.
She, you know, I feel like she's kind of like Ryan Seacrest before Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, hell yeah. You know I'm a Ryan Seacrest stan. Yeah, exactly.
I am too. We just did Knocked Up on the Rewatchables, and I was like, wow, Ryan Seacrest is so funny in this movie.
I didn't know. Wait, I've seen that movie, but I don't even remember him being in it.
He plays himself for like 5 minutes. And
so
he's mad
good.
About Jessica Simpson being late to some you know, E! News thing or whatever.
So
but
Ryan Seacrest.
But anyway, Wendy, yes, I was very aware of her as a radio personality when I was a kid.
That's cool. Okay, that's cool. See, we have a personality here in Minnesota, and I think anyone who's from Minnesota would probably, or the Twin Cities would know, Dave Ryan in the morning, War of the Roses, Dave Ryan. So I can kind of put myself in your position and go, oh, Wendy, you know, like have that kind of admiration for her. But yeah, she did a lot of DJing. She said she did it in college, and then obviously when she got out, and then they gave her a show called, well, The Wendy Williams Show in 2008 until this month. And, you know, I think it really never failed to not only be memed a bunch, but
yes.
A lot of the topics she talked about, and you'll talk about it later, but kind of were brought to the forefront by Wendy.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
So her show started in 2008, which is, you know, really the very beginning of meme culture. Memes were not even really
point.
A thing then.
Yeah.
Do you think if her show had started later, would it have been harder for her to become a meme queen, or would it have helped
so.
The show?
I think it was always going to be part of Wendy just because that's who she is, because she's really real. She's a real person.
Yeah.
And she seems as like kind of kooky, nutty on camera as she probably is in real life. And I love that because I'm kind of kooky, goofy too. And so I relate to that. And I think a lot
all
of people
the
relate
are.
To that. Okay, thank you. And I think a lot of people relate to that. And I think that's why there are so many memes of her weird reactions or like her burping and farting and just doing real people stuff that it's like, that's relatable. That's what a meme is. It's, you know, taking an image and kind of using it to distill all of our thoughts and feelings about things, you know? So
yeah, she also has very expressive reactions.
She's got a face for it, for sure.
So there's a Wendy like gif for almost any reaction you need to indicate on Twitter, which
it's
is really
amazing.
Helpful.
It is really helpful. And I also love just talking about Wendy and her show and how real she is, how she would like go there with her guests. Like she would get into it. There's this really tense interview with Omarosa from The Apprentice. And
very beginning, from 2008, I think.
Yep. And it was, I think it was still when her show was, they were doing tests for it, but it was... Mm-hmm. You know, aired nationally. But anyway, and she and Omarosa go toe to toe, and it is really intense, but it's also, you can't take your eyes off of it. And it's just like, who is this woman being Wendy? And how is she, why is she not letting Omarosa walk all over her? Which was impressive at the time because Omarosa, if you remember, had a pretty intense reputation of being very intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah, I also I think that moment, like one thing that Wendy I think has come into, she would come into my consciousness. I certainly didn't watch a show every day. I definitely don't want to pretend that I did, but she would somehow be able to latch on to the moments. Like her show would talk about really big things, and because he was such like an absurdist or such a direct take on it, it would filter it into the mainstream. So I think that's like a really good early example of it, and how she just doesn't shy away from anything. Also, I feel like we
never.
Know so much about her because she just puts herself on Front Street.
She had both a documentary and a Lifetime movie made about her, and they pretty much released it simultaneously. And
yeah, I think I was literally on the same night.
Yeah, they were like, pick your poison. And I chose to watch the Lifetime movie. And it wasn't, you know, honestly, it wasn't bad. It was fascinating. So
what were the main points that came out of it? I'm interested in this because Jodi and I just talked about Halftime, which is Bela's doc about herself. When people make films about themselves, I'm very curious about like what they consider to be the most important points. And so like what did she really hone in on?
Well, she honed in on, I think, a lot of her struggles within the past few years. And, you know, she did not shy away from the fact that Kevin Hunter, her now ex-husband, you know, philandered his way to the top with her. And she, I read this New Yorker article about her, and there was a moment when I guess she found out that I think his now wife or the woman that he ended up having a child with while he was still married to Wendy, she only lived a few blocks away from their Wendy and Kevin's home. And so Wendy went over to her place that I guess she shared with Kevin, and she like spray painted like Wendy and Kevin forever on the garage door. And they definitely did that in the Lifetime movie from what I remember. And so we got to see that. We got to see her kind of, I mean, it's been like over 6 months since I've seen this movie, but I do remember there was a wine cellar, and it seemed like they briefly talked about the addiction issues there, and we saw her do cocaine back in like the 80s and 90s. Yeah, and there was also she talked about her, you know, obviously her struggles of coming up on the radio and people being mad at her for talking about their artists and being like, you gossip too much, Wendy. But obviously, you know, it's just fuel to the fire. And not only that, but there was also, I don't know, sorry, it's not funny, but it is like interesting that she decided to put the moment, the infamous moment, actually, where she was dressed as the Statue of Liberty and she faints. That's scary. I mean, do you remember that moment?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Oh my God. No. I feel like that was everywhere, where she was dressed as the Statue of Liberty. So she's like in this green getup and she literally like, starts to like falter and like falls back and like faints.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they made sure to put that in the movie too. I was like, oh wow, we're going there. Wendy said, let's go there. And we did.
I really admire putting it all out there. I mean, and I like to go, because then she's allowed to do things like, you know, so there are so many moments that I think only Wendy Williams could really bring to the fore. Can I please talk about the one that's the most impactful for me?
Please.
I was once upon a time a Beyoncé birther. I feel bad about this, and I think it's inappropriate and also rude. And also, I just, as I've gotten older, I realize how offensive and like just wrong it is to comment on pregnant women's bodies and also just anyone's path to having children. So I just want to apologize for my for
you
being
want
a Beyoncé
apologize
birther.
To Beyoncé?
I want to apologize to Beyoncé. I honestly do. Okay, but well, the reason I felt like that was because of Wendy Williams.
Okay, see?
Beyonce was on Australian television, and that's when she was pregnant with Blue Ivy, like her stomach like folded in on herself.
I've seen that video.
Or it looked like it did.
Right.
And I've seen that video because Wendy Williams went in on this, like went deep on it on her show.
Of course she did. Of course she did.
Let's do it in slow motion. You'll notice she's either giving birth to a Frisbee or Stewie from Family Guy. Look, look at the shape. Look, do you see? There it is, there it is. What that is, B.
And so as a result of Wendy Williams, like, she's like, you know, doing a deep dive, like a real like Zapruder film reading of Beyonce's appearance on Australian daytime television, I was a Beyonce birther. And wow. I also, can you imagine if anyone came at Beyonce now for anything? Like if they questioned her, authenticity on literally any topic, can you imagine?
You'd have to go into the witness protection program. Like
yeah.
I'm not even joking. I'm being 100% serious.
Have we heard from Rachel Roy since the Becky of the Good Hair fiasco? Like so I don't think so.
I don't think so either. No, she's gone. She's definitely dark on social media. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that this has lived on for so long is, I think, a testament to how Wendy Williams operates inside popular culture and entertainment. And also, like, she didn't start, but she promoted one of the biggest and, like, most salacious pop culture rumors.
Conspiracy theories.
Of the 21st century.
Yeah. She's very much a conspiracy theory person. And as someone who is a Real Housewives conspiracy person that I've revealed on Morally Corrupt, our Bravo podcast, which everyone
check
who's
it out
listening
on
should,
Fridays on the Ringer Reality
it's
TV
great.
Podcast.
I love it. I'm biased, of course, but I do love it. But anyway, I can understand, and I'm always told by Rachel Lindsay, say allegedly. And what's really funny is that in this really great New Yorker article, sorry, let me pull it up really quick.
Sure.
It is really good, by Michael Shulman.
Oh, yeah.
And it was done May of last year. And he talks about how she has on like the teleprompter, she has one of her like showrunner, he'll hit the button because there's like a lawyer on call pretty much at all times to like say, oh, she's wading into territory, you need to hit the button. And so he'll push the allegedly button, but she'll kind of not remember it's there, and she'll say allegedly like later, like pertaining to other issues, which is kind of hilarious. But yeah, so
that is really funny.
It's really interesting that, you know, they try to rein her in, but it can't be done. It cannot be done. She is a wild horse. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, she's got to just do her thing. What's your top Wendy Williams moment? Maybe not even like your favorite, but like, what's the one that you think of as like the most impactful on your pop culture consciousness?
I mean, you know, I run across these, you know, memes on Twitter all the time, but I personally love the one meme where she says, she's got a point, she's an icon, she's a legend, and she is the moment. Do you remember that?
Yes.
She's got a point. She's an icon. She's a legend. And she is the moment.
And it's been memed so many times that it is nearly impossible to find out what she was talking about originally. Because a lot of people think it's Peppa Pig because they've like superimposed an image of Peppa Pig. And that's like the one that's been circulated so many times. But it's actually, she's really talking about Lil' Kim.
Oh, yeah. What year is that?
That is a great, I think it might be from 2017.
Wow.
But yeah.
That's really funny because I don't think anyone else was calling Lil' Kim the moment in 2017, but that's awesome.
I know. And it's funny. Well, it's not funny, but Wendy has had her moments with Lil' Kim too. If you recall, there's this other memed moment where they flash an image of Lil' Kim onto the screen, and obviously Wendy can see it, and she's like, ooh, and she kind of is drinking tea, but she has to spit it out because she's so shocked by Lil' Kim's face. I don't think she even looks like that crazy or anything, but apparently Wendy does. So that one's good. She's had a very tumultuous relationship with Lil' Kim. I also really find it funny that she calls Dua Lipa Dula Peep. Have you seen that one where she goes,
yes,
Dula Peep, and then she'll go Dula Peepa, and I don't know. It's just very
funny.
It's
right up there with Adele Dazeem.
It is right up there with, yes, it really is. And her longtime supervising producer, Norman Baker, he's the guy that they always show when she's asking a question and they shoot to the audience side and he's there with his little headset and everything. He's like, well, her name is Dua Lipa, but you call her Dula Peep. It's just, it's so funny. And honestly, Dua Lipa is a very good sport about it. She finds it funny too. So I do like that. That's a nice little instance of the person that she is maybe kind of insulting, being like, whatever.
You can tell when someone's like a child of the internet, because it's like, oh, she gets it. Like Dua Lipa's like in on the joke.
Exactly.
And she doesn't care.
Yeah. Exactly.
Also, knowing that like being a part of a Wendy Williams meme is probably good for you.
It's great.
Is a good indicator of like how you see your own fame. So that makes me like Dua Lipa more, though she's, I think, got some issues as well. But great
Don't
tunes. Great tunes, Dua Lipa.
Amazing.
Dula Peepa.
That's really funny. So I love those two. I also love when she wished death on Britney Spears' parents.
Dare you, Mr. Spears. You had me fooled. And you too, Mrs. Spears. Death to all of them.
That is pretty extreme, but
it is extreme. Stuff. But what's really great is, so I've also, within the last couple of days, have stumbled upon a lot of Wendy Williams, like, shadiest moments. There's literally a Wendy Williams shady moments up to part 32, and they all have hundreds of thousands of views, which is, again, just a testament to her power, her memeability. But there are also compilations of her wishing death upon to people, which is not funny, but it is. It's just like, wow, it's extreme. Okay, we're going there. And Wendy goes there. Like I said, she's not afraid to go there. There's also a video because she does the whole, like, clap if you care. And then people are either clap or they don't clap, or she'll use clapping as kind of a barometer of where her audience is. And I guess in place of them, you know, culture and society as a whole. But there's one where she goes, clap if you've ever wanted to kill somebody, and everyone starts clapping. It's just very funny. And this is to the credit of the producers of this show, they use the audience really well too, because they'll cut to the audience and it's just like everyone's always like has these like faces and they're like, oh, and like shocked, or they're nodding, or again, they love to clap. If Wendy goes, clap if you care. So it's a very fun show to watch.
I do think it'll have a long life on YouTube, but I can't believe you haven't brought up Fartgate. I feel like that's
God. Yeah.
That's really been going around in the last few days as people are making their tributes to Wendy Williams and her show. Yeah. Basically,
yeah.
Fartgate is Wendy Williams like burped and farted basically at the same time on the show. It was louder than she was expecting. And then she did a segment explaining Fartgate, trying to make it seem like it wasn't her and it wasn't a fart.
Right. There's literally, she's talking.
That cop wasn't playing that. I mean, you're lucky you only got battery. What if he filed for sexual
assault? It's like she ripped a really ripe one and she had to go on her show and pretty much tell the entire audience, and she had to bring out a stagehand named John Anderson to clear things up. And he went on to say, he was like, yes, Wendy, you did not fart. So she had to bring on this guy named John Anderson, which people have noted does not sound like a real person's name. It sounds like a name you just made up in the moment to hide the fact that you farted. So he said, he was brought onto the show and he said, we were filling up a fish tank backstage and we didn't have the proper hose. The air was just coming out and it was sputtering like someone was farting. Okay, so that's what it was. It wasn't Wendy.
She must have paid him, or someone paid him to do this, yes, or make it an extended bit. Would it have been better if she was just like, yes, I farted? I actually think this is a better outcome for entertainment purposes.
Oh, 100%, because it's just like, again, everyone dubbed it Fartgate. And when you add gate onto things, you know, like Watergate, it becomes a bigger deal than maybe it even should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with you. I mean, but if you've heard the fart on the video, it's a pretty, like, it's a juicy fart. So I don't know if you necessarily want to own up to that.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you think that her success would translate to a podcast? Like, what do you think will be next for Wendy? Oh. And I just, again, she's had a lot of stuff going on and with addiction and illness. But
yeah,
do you think that she could go back to the audio format? Like, does she go back to her roots? I personally would prefer, I think, a Wendy audio experience,
really?
Where she's just like talking to the camera or talking to the mic in short bursts. Like, I feel like that would be a good way to continue some of this. Like, I want to know what she thinks about some like the hot topics. Like, just make a podcast solely hot topics with Wendy Williams.
I think that'd be great. Well, it's funny because I was watching these videos of her doing the hot topics because they have a bunch of them on YouTube, and it's funny because she literally, so all it is like she has no other people. She'll talk to maybe the Norman guy from time, but not even that. And she just is, she's not a comedian. She's not a trained comedian, and she's just talking. And so there are pregnant pauses. There's just like awkward moments, but it somehow works. So I do think she would be great on a podcast if it was just Hot Topics with Wendy, like a podcast she could do. She could do it from home. She wouldn't need to like get all glammed up. And I think it would work great. And like you said, it would be going back to her roots of radio. But there is something to the video format that people love. And I think, cause, you know,
she, and that's the meme ability of it.
And that's exactly, that's the meme ability of it. It'd be very, I mean, it's not totally not doable to meme someone on audio. It just, it works better if it's video. So
yeah, of course.
Maybe Spotify should give her own show and they could do the video portion video of pod. It too.
Yeah, like Higher Learning.
Exactly.
It's a great idea. Sherry Shepherd is taking her time slot.
She is.
You're a view watcher, Amelia. Do you have any views on that?
You know,
no pun intended.
No, that's good. You know, I like Sherry. I think Sherry herself is part of some of the most iconic moments from daytime television, like when she asked if the world was flat because she didn't know. Do you remember that? She was like, yes. Is the world flat? I don't know.
Oh my God.
Which is
great. Let's introduce her to Kyrie Irving.
Oh, yeah. God.
Maybe, he also was wondering.
Maybe he could be on her show. So I think she's funny in that. And also she is a trained entertainer. If you've ever seen her on 30 Rock, I think she's absolutely hilarious on 30 Rock. And honestly, I've watched her on Andy Cohen's Watch What Happens Live. She's great on that. I think she's very funny. And I see her obviously doing well because, again, like Wendy, she's not, at least I don't think she's a trained comedian, but she's just very funny and she's just very herself. And she's not afraid to act weird or goofy or kind of make fun of herself. You know, she's, I think, embraced the whole, is it flat? I don't know, which is kind of what you want out of your talk show host, because you want them to be your friend. You want to be familiar with them and you want to believe like you could rapport and have a conversation with them in real life.
I think that's one of the reasons why Wendy Williams has been so popular is
totally.
Because yeah, because it's like she says the things that like you want to say out loud or you say like on a text message with your friend.
Right, that you wouldn't say like in a professional setting.
Say on TV.
Or, exactly. Yeah.
But then the Fartgate thing is so funny because it's like she says what people are thinking, but she is not like us. Like Wendy Williams is not like stars are just like us type of person. She is exceptional. And that's like another reason why I've always really liked her is like, the people who make what they do seem like anyone can do it are the ones who are the most talented at that thing.
Totally.
Because it just seems so easy.
It seems like so easy, but it's not.
But like actually hosting and being entertaining and talking like that is really, really hard.
It's incredibly hard.
Very hard to find.
Yes. And I think, you know, she was on the air for over 10 years doing the TV show. And it's like, that is a burnout. Like that, you can...
I know, every day.
Every single day. Like, I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did, honestly, because that seems exhausting.
I know. It's just, it is a bummer that she hasn't been on it for this entire...
I know. But it's, you know, she...
Hopefully it's for the best for her.
Right. Because she has Graves' disease, she's mentioned, and, you know, she talked about dealing with addiction issues, and then freaking we hate Kevin Hunter. He sucks.
Really
and I'm
do.
Sure that was devastating, obviously. And so I, you know, just first and foremost, wish her good health and to be, you know, just in a better place mentally, physically, emotionally. And I think that's what she needs to focus on right now, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
It's a great note to wish Wendy well on her future.
On her future. And that's the thing. I think I read the people who are doing the Sherry Shepherd show, who also were in charge of the Wendy Williams show, were saying like, well, when she's ready and she's better, we would love to have her back, which I think is a good sign, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. She can get back on TV in the future.
Right. I don't think this is the last we've heard from Wendy Williams because that's who Wendy is, you know? She's always going to be around. She's always going to be there to make some funny, interesting comment that we all just have to meme or agree with, disagree with, you know?
She's incredible. I look forward to it.
Me too. So this was really nice. This was a nice little pop culture history lesson.
Yeah. You know, just dive into YouTube for more Wendy Williams.
Truly, there's so many gems on YouTube of Wendy Williams. So we salute you, Wendy. Thank you for your service. Obviously, get better, get well soon. My name is Amelia Wedemeyer. Thank you so much to my co-host, Juliet Littman, to our producer, Devin Manzi, and we will be back on this podcast feed in the very, very near future.